Welcome to worship from Daleville Christian Church. Last week was called Ascension Sunday. For we read in the book of Acts that after Jesus' suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Last week, Ascension Sunday, as read there. Next week is the Pentecost Sunday, Pentecost, the ancient festival, during which the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles, the disciples, and we since remember that as the birth of Jesus' church, when the Spirit was given, as Jesus said would happen when he left the disciples on the earth. We have an affirmation of our faith that we repeat each time we gather. This one from 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter. "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time, God the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen." The reading of God's word for today is from Mark's gospel in the 4th chapter, the 1st through the 20th verses. "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, 'Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven,' as Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah. Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I'm going to talk about Satan one more time. And here's what I hope we have learned so far about Satan. First of all, we talk about Satan because the Bible talks about Satan. We learn about Satan because Jesus spoke of Satan and Jesus had to deal with Satan. So what have we learned? Well, there's evil in the world. Evil is a force in our world and its purposes are contrary to our Lord God. We call that force Satan. Satan is called many things in the Bible, like father of lies. Although Satan is a personification of evil, evil is perpetuated by human beings. Satan would separate us from the Lord God, believer and unbeliever. Evil has been and is, at times, institutionalized in human institutions, governments, businesses, laws, procedures, economics, education, medicine, science. One author called them superpersonal forces of evil. Jesus came, that is, God came to us as Jesus to take back the earth and everything in it, to take back creation to fulfill God's purposes. Jesus made it possible for believers to do God's will on earth. So today we look at some other words that Jesus spoke about Satan, or the words Jesus used in these scriptures as we read this very same parable or very reasonable facsimile in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The evil one in Matthew, the devil in Luke, and Satan in Mark's gospel. But we must be wary here. Jesus is not teaching here about Satan. Jesus is teaching about the word of the kingdom, the word of God. So let us not focus on something Jesus is not focused on. But since Jesus mentions the evil one, the devil, and Satan, we will look to see the role Satan has with regard to the proclamation of God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. What we have here is one of the simplest, most straightforward teaching moments. We are told that crowds gathered around Jesus, he taught them, and Jesus told this story, a parable. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell of it, and the story is about a farmer. The story is pretty much a picture of ancient farming at planting time. You know this story, so I don't have to repeat it, but notice that it's not clear that the story, as Jesus tells the story, it's not clear that this story has anything to do with God, or anything to do with following Jesus, or anything about heaven, or anything about faith at all. You could use this same story in lots of presentations. Your local extension office or agricultural co-op could title this story this way, "Why You Should Adopt Modern Farming Methods." Or your local mental health association could tell this story with the title, "Why More Farmers Are Depressed Than the General Population." Because the farmer's stressed out by a 75% failure rate, as Jesus explains it. So be sure to go to the extension office or your local farmer's co-op presentation on why you should adopt modern farming methods. But it's the same story that Jesus told. So until Jesus tells the disciples the meaning of the parable, we don't know much more than this little history lesson on ancient farming. So Jesus is going to tell us three things. He's going to tell us the parable, he's going to tell us its meaning, and Jesus is going to tell us why Jesus used parables to teach. Let's start with the use of parables, Jesus' use of parables. Why? Because it says something about us. Since we're looking at parables, Jesus taught in parables for a couple of reasons. First of all, Jesus was teaching difficult theological concepts. Do you want to repeat that phrase, difficult theological concepts? Jesus wanted to teach difficult theological concepts without using words like difficult theological concepts. Jesus used parables so that his hearers could more easily grasp what Jesus wanted to say. Now let me ask you a question. Do you remember helping your children with their math homework? Did you sometimes discover that you knew the correct answer, but you couldn't explain how you got the answer correct. And the teacher wanted in the assignment to know how you got the right answer. This happened a lot to me. I was often not much help to my children with math homework. All I could say was, yes, you got the right answer. And that's all I can tell you. It's possible with some people that you grasp Jesus' meaning without being able to explain it. It's that way for some people. Some people won't grasp what Jesus is talking about. The people who can't hear, who don't have ears, as Jesus called it. Might not even be listening. The people who don't have ears may not be listening. They might be distracted. One commentator put it this way: those will not hear who are not leaning in to hear. You will hear the Word of God if you hunger for the Word of God. Those will not hear if their attention fades in and out, or if they nod off to sleep, or if during the teaching they wonder if they remembered to lock the car or turn off the oven when they left the house, or whatever the ancient peoples were distracted by. Did they remember to feed the animals or close the gate? If your mind wanders off on those things, you won't be able to hear what Jesus is saying. Clearly, having God's Word in front of you in a Bible, in your own language, should eliminate some hearing problems. But that's only one difficulty. Jesus teaches in his parables often to get the hearer involved so that a question is asked about the hearer's response. The hearer can ask themselves, am I in this parable somewhere? Is there something for me to do? In some cases, like ancient farming, a hearer could say, yeah, that happened to me. In this parable, Jesus was teaching about responses to the gospel message. Right here, talking about the reception of the teaching, Jesus mentioned the enemy, the evil one, Satan. Satan can cause problems with reception and development of the grain gospel into a growing plant. But do notice that Jesus is telling the people just about how things are. Jesus is not explaining why things are the way they are. This is just the way it is. The evil one comes and snatches away what is sown. Period. Jesus gave no more explanation. So we are done talking about Satan, but notice that Jesus was saying that the devil could be a problem even in the transmission of the gospel itself. The devil could be running interference. But the parable Jesus told is really about the success of the work of the farmer. That's how Jesus ended the parable. The parable is about the success of the farmer, despite all the difficulties. The Word of God will bear fruit. Period. We might notice, as Jesus told the story, Satan is not responsible for all the hearing problems. Satan is only directly responsible for a portion of the crop failure. The rest of the parable is a cautionary tale. Jesus' parable is a cautionary tale to American Christians especially. This parable is a warning to American Christians especially. Why? Because Americans can't get results and success out of their minds. Every preacher should preach this parable once a year at least, and American churches should insist that their preacher preach on this parable at least once a year. Why? Because the parable says very plainly that you are not going to have success 3 out of 4 times. And you shouldn't expect results 3 out of 4 times. And when you do get results, the success you so worked to obtain may not last. Your success was just a show, a sham, not real. It will never bear fruit. And we American Christians should not be surprised if our efforts to proclaim the gospel do not bear fruit. Jesus told us this 2,000 years ago. Even to the disciples, Jesus spoke this. Remember when the disciples came back from the mission field? They were so excited. They came back saying, Luke chapter 10, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. They're full of joy in the power of Jesus' name over the demons. And Jesus said, You guys miss the point again. Jesus added, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. There is another verse aimed at American Christians. Power and control are not your celebration. American Christians, your power and control are not your celebration. It's that your names are written down. You are blessed. Now, why should pastors and their churches insist that this parable be preached at least once a year? Because we all worship at the altar of success as judged by numbers. America believes that bigger is better no matter what. Even the news websites want to tell you, here's what most people are reading right now. Who cares what most people are reading? A few years ago, as a nation, we shared more than almost 4 million cat pictures and videos every day. It was just a few years ago. As a nation, we shared more than almost 4 million cat pictures and videos every day. There. That's what most people are looking at. That's what's trending. What gets put in front of us through television or internet, whatever is trending, whatever went viral. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Truth does not trend. Jesus is the truth and Jesus never trends. And what Jesus told us 2,000 years ago, that even if Jesus did trend, Jesus told us, don't get excited about it. But it's like we can't help ourselves. The church that once had the most watched television hour in this country is no more. What was once the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, that produced the Hour of Power television hour is no more. Oh, the building's still there, but the congregation that built it is long gone. The congregation filed for bankruptcy 10 years ago. They sold the building to the Roman Catholic Diocese. Or do you remember Jimmy and Tammy Faye Baker? And the PTL Club. They opened the Heritage USA theme park in Fort Mill, South Carolina in 1978, which became the third most successful theme park in the U.S. at the time. 6 million visitors a year. Television viewer contributions were estimated to exceed $1 million a week. That's what I call trending. And back then, $1 million a week was a lot of money. 10 years after it opened, despite its success, the theme park filed for bankruptcy. Since then, parts of the theme park have been sold off. Parts of the park are abandoned. Jesus said in his story, some seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Now, I'm not suggesting that these ministries did not bear fruit. I'm suggesting, as Jesus did, that we often consider the success of the plant rather than looking for the fruit and rather than finding the fruit. We might even be looking in the wrong place for the fruit. We look at things like I just mentioned to you, ticket sales, television viewers, $1 million a week. Most churches still believe that a successful preacher is one who gets a lot of people attending the church. Jesus said that that isn't true, and Jesus explained why that's not true. You can get an immediate positive response to the good news of the gospel, and it will disappear. It will wither. Some folks will come and respond and grow, maybe even promising a wonderful future. But the weeds prevent their growth from ever reaching fruitful stages. Deb and I have raspberries in our garden. Raspberries and other fruits and vegetables can get a fungus called verticillium wilt. I just call it clogged arteries. The plant comes up, gets leaves and flowers, doing great, then the leaves start dying. The fungus prevents the feeding of the plant in its extremities. The wilt starts at the end and works its way back on the plant. But for a couple of weeks, I'm looking at seemingly healthy raspberry canes and planting pies and jam. But within a week or two, I have to give up those plans from the infected berry plants. There will be no fruit from those raspberry canes. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, "Yeah, that sort of thing will happen." And it happens with the gospel. But Jesus added, "That's not the preacher's fault." And by the way, preacher, if your whole church isn't fruitful, it isn't your fault, and it isn't your fault. With regard to the church, preacher, just keep preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Why? Why keep preaching with a 25% success rate? Two reasons. Your church wants to keep preaching at a 25% success rate. First of all, the success rate is not one fruit to one plant. Jesus said, "Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." One plant may not make it to fruitful stage, but the plants that do produce fruit can do so at a wonderful yield. Maybe 30. Even 60 times is possible. And 100 times from your one successful seed is not unheard of. That's one reason to keep sharing the good news of Jesus. The second reason is this. This is God's word. This is God's mission through Jesus. Even at only a 25% success rate, on a good day, in a good season, even at only a 25% success rate, on a good day, in a good season, the Heavenly Father will prevail. The Heavenly Father states His word will not return to Him empty. Isaiah chapter 55. Some of you here never saw the successes that Daleville Christian Church had in the late 1990s. You know, a number of people who attended Daleville Christian Church back in 2000, then moved away. I don't think any of the youth group that attended here 10 years ago, none of them live here anymore. The families, some older people, some youth, they moved to Indianapolis, they moved to Cincinnati, they moved to South Carolina, they moved to Tennessee, they moved to Florida. We have no fruit here at Daleville Christian Church from them. But we have no idea how much fruit they may have produced where they were transplanted. However, if all Americans look at is growth, if this church only looks at today's numbers, you might even miss seeing the harvest that the Lord is going to bring. You might be looking for fruit in the wrong place. It isn't unheard of that a congregation that starts congregations might close while the congregations they started are still going strong. Not all good preaching brings good results. And not all good results have a happy ending. But Jesus, point of the story, don't be discouraged. Don't quit. Preach the word in season and out. Even the Apostle Paul had great hopes for the churches in Galatia, and we like to forget that the Apostle Paul was opposed by other Christian leadership. And some of those Christian leaders, they considered themselves superior or superlative. In one version, the Apostle Paul addresses the congregation, "You foolish and thoughtless and superficial Galatians." In another version, the Apostle just calls the church people stupid. Yes, Paul is pretty steamed by the whole situation. Paul stated in his letter, "You were running a good race. You were obeying the truth. Who stopped you from following the true way? Using Jesus' parable, we could ask, was it Satan? Was it weeds? Are you Galatians suffering from verticillium wilt or its ancient equivalent? We've celebrated Daleville Christian Church's website and the number of sermon downloads that the church's website has attained. But really, the sermon downloads are just seeds thrown out into the World Wide Web. The downloads only mean that the seeds landed on the ground. We can't tell what ground the sermon downloads landed on. We can't see any growth those seeds might be showing. We can't see any fruit, if any, those sermon seeds grow to bear. All we know from however many sermon downloads Daleville Christian Church has, the seeds landed in the soil. Until a sermon is downloaded, it's just floating in virtual reality, in the air, right from the sower's hand. As to the type of soil the sermon seeds landed, we have no idea. If those seeds become fruitful at all, we can't know, and we can't know how fruitful those seeds might become. But by all means, keep broadcasting the sermon seeds. Keep trying to sow the sermon seeds. In that way, anyone who has ears to hear will hear. Until the word of God is proclaimed, no one can know the secrets of the kingdom. And of course, the good news of Jesus is not restricted to the sermon seeds, not at all. There should be seeds in the worship. There should be seeds in the parking lot as you come to the church. There should be seeds in fellowship. There should be seeds in welcoming. There should be seeds in the Bible study. There should be seeds in openness to others. Jesus told you the success rate would not be very high. But Jesus also assured you there will be a success rate. And that success rate could be 30, could be 60, could be 100 times more than the seed you put out. Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Amen.